Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Good afternoon. Happy hump day. We've made it halfway through this week. For a lot of people, this week kind of drags on, right? You had the last week, which, let's be honest, for most of us, no one was keeping tabs on you. You could kind of mess around at work. You know, I saw someone post a meme last Wednesday of George when you're supposed to be working on the Penske file, and it says all of us just collecting our PTO, all of us just coming in so we don't use our PTO. That's what the meme was. And there was another one of George sleeping under his desk at Yankee Stadium. But we have more winter precipitation on the way, and to talk about it is Andy Parker. Andy, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here.
Let's start with right now. It's cold, Andy, and there are still slick spots, even driving in just a few hours ago around Western New York.
Yeah, this is going to be the warmest we feel in a number of days. So if you have an opportunity to go out and maybe scrape off some of the ice that's sitting on the front yard or sitting on the front walkway or the driveway, go ahead and do it now, because this will be the best weather we have to do that in the next couple of days. Things are going to get snowy, and then it's going to get cold, Joe.
So snowy and cold. The snow, I'm assuming, comes first, and what's that going to look like?
You know what? This is not – well, the timing is going to be good. It's going to start after the evening commute. So everybody's going to get home today. There's no worry that you're going to walk out and see a blinding lake effect snowband. As a matter of fact, we'll have the wind pick up a little bit this afternoon, and the clouds are already there. We're going to start to see the snowflakes anytime between 6 and 8. They'll initially target the city and the usual suspects inland along the thruway out to Batavia. And I think we're going to see a couple inches of snow this evening. We'll call it between 7 and midnight. in that area. So I think the 2 to 4 inch range total for areas, let's say up to Kenmore, and then you go northeast off towards Batavia and Rochester. That corridor is going to be in line for several inches. You go north of that up to Lockport, you're really not going to pick much up. Niagara Falls is kind of on the outside looking in. That's up until midnight, Joe, and then it's going to start to move and shift. It'll go, you know, blow through Chickawaga, Lancaster. It's going to kind of hop over them. West Seneca does not get a big hit out of this, and it'll realign itself a little bit further south. So we're going to talk Hamburg, Orchard Park, Angola, Boston Hills again. I think they'll get about 2 to 4 inches down there. That's where it'll be in the morning. So you're going to have to drive through some stuff that fell overnight near Buffalo, but most of the snow will be to the south in the morning. And it's going to be blowing around again. So we're not going to have the huge 50-mile-an-hour gusts, but we're going to have sustained winds at 15 to 20 with occasional gusts of 35, which when you have that type of snow, it's not going to be the slush stuff. It's going to be a little bit lighter because temperatures are colder, so it's going to blow around and drift a little bit more. Very uncomfortable, and you're going to have some slow travel in spots Thursday morning. No school closings out of this, nothing like that, but it's going to be more of that nuisance, give yourself a little extra time, and then the temperatures just keep going. They're going to fall through the 20s during the day, so we might start out at, you know, 26, 27 early in the morning, and by the time we come in the evening, it'll be around 19 or so, continuing on down into the single digits, buddy. I think it's going to be by Friday morning, of the coldest morning we've had in a long time.
Ooh, get up a few minutes early and get the heat on in the car.
Yeah, that's it. Go ahead and hit the button. Hopefully, if you're looking for a good Christmas gift, that would be a good one. The remote starter is going to be a hot one this year.
For those listeners that might have to be out tonight, are we expecting a consistent snow between 7 and midnight? What's that going to look like? And you said 2 to 4 inches, but is there a time within that time that it's going to be the worst? And, you know, say, hey, I got to get something done between 8 and 10. What would be the best time to get out and do it?
Yeah, I think, the earlier the better, because then there's less on the roads. The roads are in great shape right now. They've all been handled and salted, and, you know, hopefully a lot of them are down to the pavement, especially in the metro and the north towns. But I think as we get past 8 o'clock in that corridor I talked about, the wind is going to come off the lake from southwest to northeast. So it's going to blow in through the city and then up along the thruway towards Batavia. So, you know, anybody in Clarence, Amherst, you know, Pembroke, even into, you know, downtown Buffalo in the immediate area, it's not going to be a wall of wind and snow. It's going to start, you know, the lake effect machine will start chugging out. You'll get some snowflakes in that 6 to 8 inch range. Maybe it'll start to stick a little bit after 8 o'clock in the evening. And then I think by the time you get to midnight, we'll have somewhere between 2 and 4 inches on the ground. So not debilitating, but it's going to be one where you're outside going, okay, it's winter. Here we go. And the roads go from grip to slip. And that's what you're going to find when we get to Thursday. I think there'll be some slick spots out there as well.
So Thursday morning, you said no school closures or anything, but you might need an extra few minutes to get to work. You know, don't wake up. Don't press the snooze button on the alarm tomorrow morning.
Yeah, just like we had when we had that snow earlier this week. What we had earlier was that fine grain snow. It really wasn't like large flakes, and it became kind of a greasy snow on the roads and really snarled things for a while. I think what we get out of this is more of the larger fluffy flakes blowing around a bit, but still the same result is you're going to find any untreated roads be a little bit slick. But 2 to 4 inches certainly doesn't scare anybody, but this is more just that heads up so you're not the one caught behind the eight ball having to come up with an excuse why you were late and didn't know that we were going to get a little bit of snow.
It's funny you say that. I remember back when I was on with Sandy and we were doing a traffic, there was a traffic issue on the 90 and we kept on updating it. I was the one doing the read. And then right at 12, my dad and I left for Virginia taking the route. And I completely forgot that, oh yeah, for 3 hours I've been talking about this backup and then got stuck back in it. So I got to make sure that I'm not doing that tomorrow. And I give myself plenty of time. Andy, you know me, I like to press fast forward. You talked about how cold Friday was going to be. We've got the Bills, Bengals, game moved up to 1 o'clock. What's that going to look like on Sunday?
It's going to be a cold one. You won't need the rain slicker, I can tell you that. We're going to jump right into the full-on winter gear. I think we're going to end up in the 20s in the afternoon. It's not going to be the coldest game ever, but it's going to be a cold one, and I think we're going to see some snow that comes in on Saturday, and then that should be exiting for the day on Sunday. It doesn't look like Sunday is going to be a big weather problem from the perspective of snow, but the cold will be there. Anytime you're going to be out in the cold in the 20s for a good chunk of time, you're going to want to be, you know, bundled up for this one. The winds don't look like a big factor either. So almost mid-December by the time this, well, at least the first week in December. So it's to be expected. And I think what we're going to get is about, 20, 25, 30 degrees, somewhere in that range. And then you're going to have a northwest wind at around 5 to 10 miles an hour, some fresh snow on the ground. So anybody that's doing the tailgate may have to move a little bit of frozen stuff out of the way, but I'm sure everybody will manage this one.
Oh yeah, I got the boots. I gotta go find my nice comfy snow pants, and I'm ready for three more cold weather games at the old Highmark Stadium, because I try to be optimistic, Andy, but I really do think there's just the three left. I don't think there's going to be an extra win this year.
It's interesting looking at the playoff math. That calculator is a brilliant tool, and the door hasn't closed, but it's certainly, you got to shoot the gap to get the right situation. I think you're right, Joe.
Sure do. Hey, Andy, always great catching up with you. And don't forget, if you want to catch up with Andy, at Andy Parker TV on socials and 716-503-ANDY. Text the word weather, and you'll be in touch with him. Andy, thank you so much.
Joe, it's been great. Thank you.
That is Andy Parker, meteorologist. And again, as he said, the best part is, if you work at 9 to 5, we're getting home, right? We're getting home. We're not going to have to worry about the home commute, from work with the kids being an issue. It's after 7 o'clock that the snow is going to start falling. And if you have to be on the roads, the good thing is there'll be less people on the roads. But, be careful. It is December, as he said. We're going to get snow. We live in Western New York. We had a hot summer, and the lake is perfect for these conditions. And obviously, right here on News Radio 930 WBEN, we'll keep you updated top and bottom of every hour. And, when we have to bring you weather outside of the top and bottom, we are always here for you and keeping you updated. It is a cold one. Andy said it's the warmest we're going to see for a while. But it was still, it was cold this morning. And there are places where ice is still an issue, not so much on the roads, but sidewalks, driveways, parking lots. I noticed this morning slipping on a little bit of ice. So be careful. Get the boots. I got my boots on, and I know it annoys everyone here because my boots are really loud and they squeak. So I usually bring my shoes, my sneakers in and change when I walk into the studio. But I left my shoes in the car, and I didn't really feel like going back outside and getting them. So sorry, everybody that had listened to my boots squeaking for the last 2.5 hours. That's just how it is. Or I'm sorry, the next 2.5 hours. That is the way it is. I'll remember the shoes tomorrow. So that is that. And after the news, we're going to talk with Michael Gaynor from East Side Parkways Coalition, talking about yesterday's public outreach. As you know, we previewed the outreach, and I got a lot of messages on my social media posts about yesterday's show. And, a lot of people, especially on social media, think that the 33 should stay the way it is now, right? Repair the walls and keep the expressway the expressway. As we heard in our top of the hour news update, a lot of people, and we've heard throughout the morning, we heard with Susan and Brian, a lot of people who were at the public outreach yesterday on Genesee Street were in support of bringing back Humboldt Parkway and restoring it to what it was before the 33, right? Not many people, from what we've heard, supporting the tunnel idea, which, as we know, got, in my opinion, more and more or less popular as time went on. As more people found out what the state was planning to do, you would see that the popularity of the tunnel idea was very unpopular. And again, a lot of people are very vocal about wanting the 33 filled in. So today I went around and I looked at, I didn't drive around and look. I went around online and looked at different examples of highways being turned into boulevards, right? Being turned, being filled in and being removed. And outside of Rochester, which again, as we've been told, is not a fair comparison to the 33. It didn't have the amount of traffic the 33 has. So that's one thing. But there are examples of highway to boulevard. The inner loop was one of them. But again, not the amount of traffic. And then there was the Park East Freeway in Milwaukee. This was removed in 2002. But again, this Milwaukee, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot more arteries in and around Milwaukee than in Buffalo. And I think what makes this unique and what makes this different than some of the things that I saw. So Milwaukee was another example. Before I get to my conclusion, I probably should tell you the other places that I looked at. Also, there was the Bonaventure Expressway in Montreal. That was in 2011. That was filled in and are removed and made more into a parkway. All these examples, again, they're great examples, and some of them are very similar to the amount of traffic we see on the 33. But I think what remains the difference, and there's two things, right, is where do you put the displaced traffic? That's main concern 1A and 1B, emergency vehicles, which really came to light in our discussion yesterday. Where do you put the emergency vehicles if the 33 is no longer there without slowing down response and slowing down travel to the hospital? And that is something that we are going to ask Michael Gaynor after the break. I think that's a fair question. I would like to hear from anyone who went to the public outreach yesterday or anyone that wants to continue this conversation on what you think should be done with the 33. Like I said, we're going to talk to Michael Gaynor after the break and revisit that. Now, they've scheduled another outreach meeting for December 16th for more of the same type of discussion and getting ideas. And I'm still very interested in, does anyone out there have a different idea than the two that have been proposed? Well, I guess the three that we know, right? What are the three? The tunnel, the fill-in, or keep it the way it is. Now, if you heard the show yesterday or have heard me over the last 2 years, you know my thoughts are, regardless of what is selected, regardless of what the governor signs, I think 20 years from now, the 33 will look exactly as it does today. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it. Doesn't mean I'm right. I've been wrong before. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't get the thoughts and get the reasoning for why there are seemingly, and again, you know, it is a very vocal group of people. It could be the majority, but a very vocal group of people who want the fill-in option. And again, I think it's a very more vocal group than the first time we went through this. So we're going to get Michael's thoughts on that. We get your thoughts on it as well at 803-0930, star 930. And then I want to get into this in the 2 o'clock hour. There is a hospital locally, a former hospital, that they're turning into apartments. Now, hey, I'm not against that. I'm not against, you know, using a building and not letting it just sit there and rot away. But I don't know if I could live in a building that I knew was a former hospital. Again, I'm not sure if I believe in ghosts or not. Like, I'm not sure, you know, but stuff does creep me out. Like, I don't know if I was living in a house and you told me that someone, you know, was murdered in that house. I'm not sure I could live in that house anymore. Like, it would completely change the way I thought. I think I'd be somewhat uncomfortable. Like, I think I would, you know, again, believe in ghosts or not, I think I'd walk down, like, the stairs to a basement and think I'm going to turn the light on and there's just going to be a figure standing there. I don't know why, because we'll get to that in the 2 o'clock hour. It's something that I saw the article and I thought, not sure I could live in a former hospital. Hospitals creep me out as it is. I don't even like it when I'm a patient in a hospital, right? You know, I don't like my own blood. I don't want to see other people's blood. I'd be an awful doctor. I'm glad there are people who aren't me. But, you know, I couldn't even watch the show ER. You get what I'm saying? So we'll get into that in the 2 o'clock hour. When we come back, Michael Gaynor joins us. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEM.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yes, it is the holiday season. We're playing your favorites as bumps. I love that song, Last Christmas. I mean, I love most of Wham, let's be honest. Their greatest hits album. Did not chart in my top five this year, but it's definitely listened to a lot. Anyway, that video, as we have talked about, bothers me because, you know, it's the other guy from Wham is now dating the woman that George Michael was allegedly dating the summer before. And he's, you know, going over the memories in his head and then seeing who is his friend. I mean, you could have played My Best Friend's Girl to that video and been the same premise. Anyway, we are continuing our discussion from yesterday, our discussion from Hardline on Sunday. It's the DOT's round two of step one, the public outreach for the Kensington Expressway. Michael Gaynor joined us on Sunday before the meetings, and he joins us again today from the Eastside Parkway Coalition. Michael, thank you so much for taking some time this afternoon.
Hey, I appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for the opportunity.
So we had the first of the public outreaches, and before I ask for any specifics, what were your thoughts on yesterday's meeting?
Well, you know, you can save your time on asking for specifics because there's not much, wasn't a lot of takeaway. I think that, you know, it was the opportunity for the DOT to get everybody in the room and check a box for community engagement, and then to probably go back to the office and do whatever they're going to do. I'm trying to be optimistic about the whole process and, you know, try to give them some credit for the work that they're doing. And I'm having a hard time doing that. I think I brought this up. What came out later in your show with Mr. Fontana was that, you know, the EIS probably isn't going to start until the end of next year. And, you know, for a project that is so desperate to get to work in a transportation infrastructure of the current Kensington Expressway that's crumbling, that is in desperate need of repair, the logic behind delaying this, the start of the EIS, a whole year doesn't make a lot of sense. But you know, I'm going to keep doing what we're going to keep doing, which is trying to build a larger coalition that's focused on setting project goals and objectives and trying to get more momentum behind that. You know, the DOT had 2 years to listen to the community. They've been listening for the last 2 years, and I'm pretty sure they have a pretty strong feeling of what the word is on the street, and they certainly got that reiterated last night. You know, you go around and you look at a lot of the comments and you look at notes that were scrawled on their boards, and you get a strong feeling of what people really want here in the city. And that's unequivocally something more transformational that looks like a highway removed and a more reinvigorated overall transportation network throughout the region.
So, did you get the same feeling, I guess, from this first meeting that you got the last time they were doing public outreach? Do you feel that their sights are still set on this tunnel idea?
Well, I mean, that wouldn't have been clear outwardly from their posters. I mean, I think that there is an authentic, I wouldn't say authentic, but there is an intent to collect information from the community. And to, you know, gather what people's thoughts and feelings were. I think based on, you know, where I was looking at where people were coming from, the majority of the people participating in last night's meeting were city residents. They have put, you know, some funding and some resources behind recruiting people from suburban groups. I anticipate there'll be a lot of listening sessions out in the suburban communities. And when I spoke to Mr. Fontana specifically about that, he's like, you know, well, you know, if we are going to consider a fill-in option, you know, it changes the constituency groups, the stakeholders, because now there's a larger group of stakeholders because they will be impacted by whatever decision is made in downtown Buffalo. And, you know, that's true. That's most certainly true. But I would like us to see, you know, see us putting more energy into thought into how if that is the ultimate plan, which is removal of the 33 expressway from essentially Fillmore to Oak Street, what are we going to do collectively as a transportation entity to improve the transportation grid regionally? And, you know, there was life, you know, there was life before the Kensington Expressway. And in fact, the population of the city of Buffalo was 600,000 people then. So even though some would argue there were less cars on the road, there was certainly a population, and cars were not an anomaly. They were, you know, everywhere and a part of civilized society. So the question is, if we want to do something that really is different, that's in alignment with what people want in terms of urban infrastructure and urban quality of life, and this is nationwide. You know, people weren't having conversations 15 years ago about removing highways. It just wasn't happening. But now everywhere in the country, they're removing urban highways, and they're removing them for very important reasons, because at some point, cars are not going to be the staple that they are today, and because of changing tastes, particularly amongst our young people. Young people want walkable, livable, serviceable neighborhoods. They want to be able to commute and we're using different medium, bicycles, of foot traffic. They want to jump on a streetcar here or there. You know, they want it to be safe. They want They don't want highways and concentrated pollution and noise running right through the center of urban neighborhoods. It's just not something that's on the palate of our young people, and it's certainly not going to be on the palate of a future planning agenda for the city of Buffalo. So, like, you know, people always say, you know, Buffalo, new ideas are always last to come to Buffalo. Well, here we have an opportunity to be on the forefront of innovation and transformation and do something that is in alignment with what young people and young communities and healthy communities are saying the nationwide, which is let's focus on local community neighborhood development. Let's build green space. Let's build multimodal transportation options, and let's get highways out of here. You know, we have the best designed city in the world, and we have an opportunity to reinvigorate that regional transportation network to move people around more efficiently, and not just more efficiently, but giving them a better quality of experience. You know, I want people to be able to move efficiently down our commercial corridors, down Genesee, down Seneca, down Kensington, down William. And I want them to move efficiently so that they don't feel like they're stuck in traffic. But I also want them, if they want to be able to stop for a coffee or to pick up flowers for their partner on their way home or whatever. It could improve the quality of their lives while also reinvigorating the local economy. So it's a win-win for everybody. But we didn't see much of that discussed last night.
With that said, you know, so we did our own public outreach yesterday, two things came up, Michael, and I know you and I have discussed this before, but just for a refresher, you know, two things that came up from our audience were displaced vehicles and emergency vehicles. Is this something that you guys have thought of?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, there's this misunderstanding that emergency vehicles actually utilize the 33 Expressway. They don't. Paramedics don't utilize the 33 Expressway because, number one, it's dangerous. Number one, cars go too fast. And number three, if there is something that happens, you can't get through. You'll find that emergency vehicles largely use the arterials. It's more efficient. It's more expedient. And they can get there without unnecessary burdens. So that's the first thing. And most first responders will back that up. And I think that, you know, again, it comes back to envisioning a life where we will still have an expressway that goes to downtown Buffalo from the suburban areas. We're not making the downtown inaccessible. We have a profoundly designed transportation network that existed before the highway that is now sitting largely idle and waiting. To be reinvigorated, waiting for its second life, and waiting for the opportunity to service vehicles and passengers again. So, you know, it's hard to think about it because you don't frequent those roads now, but I really challenge you and your listeners to think about a life where we can invest $1 billion into improving transportation improvements, infrastructure improvements, technology improvements to move vehicles more efficiently using the latest technology in our existing transportation grid that has existed for, you know, over a century. And I think that there's tremendous potential there. The changes, I actually spoke last night with a transportation designer, Joe, and, you know, I said, if I was the governor and I gave you a directive to remove this section of highway, could you move cars efficiently throughout the region? And his answer was, yes, we actually did study this during phase one. And there are some challenges. We have to look at, you know, these soft spots or these, you know, often at intersections, you know, take, you know, maybe, you know, Genesee and Harlem, for example. There may be 20 to 25 different, you know, spots in the grid that need to be improved. But when you look at grade level improvements versus something like a tunnel, they're significantly less costly and more efficient. And when you take that in the context of new technology that's now currently available, it becomes much more attainable.
You know, Michael, this came up yesterday in our conversation, too. You know, I grew up taking the subway. I lived right by the South Campus subway station as a kid. Do you think if we had the metro rail system that was actually proposed in the 80s, that this would be as big a deal as it is?
Oh, I don't know. The thing is, I probably would say that it still would be the same amount of debate that we're having today, because the reality is that, the light rail doesn't move that many people. And I don't even, I'm trying not to muddy the waters by getting into conversations about light rail anyway, because, I actually had an interesting conversation with a NFTA driver last night at the Kensington Expressway. He thinks that the light rail system as it exists today is a disaster for NFTA because it takes necessary resources away from bus routes, and resources away from bus routes that could actually improve access, not just in the inner city, but to some of the surrounding cities. So I think that people tend to overstate the transportation challenges. I think that we all know that transportation travel on the 33 Expressway is down. People will say 75,000 cars. That's over the course of a 24-hour period. So at any point, it's only 6,000 cars an hour. And when you think about it that way, 6,000 cars an hour distributed along 10 to 12 radial streets is very attainable. And that transportation designer actually echoed that sentiment. I said, given this directive, if I was the governor and I said, let's make this happen, could you do it? And he said, yeah, of course. And if you throw $1 billion worth of funding into the loop, it makes it even more attainable. So it just takes the political will to consider something different. And that's really the largest obstacle, is that we have to be willing to think about it differently.
Hey, Michael Gaynor, always great getting your perspective. I would say I think you guys need to revisit the emergency vehicles, because I'm getting a lot of texts on our text board of people saying that the 33 is used by emergency vehicles. I do think that is something that needs to be discussed in the new plan.
Hey, we will do that. And I think that, again, if you think about efficient movement of travel on the radial grids, like, people think that that's the only highway going to downtown. There aren't. There is a lot of radial grid. You got to think about the long term, and you have to think about what those streets, how they can function when they're improved, when there's good technology, and when we have efficient movement of traffic along our existing radial grid. I'm not a transportation expert, but and that's why I singled the transportation expert in the room out last night to make sure that I was representing facts well. But without a doubt, we need further analysis, and we need a good transportation planner that's willing to consider all phases of this project and what it can be like for the future, and delivering benefits to the entire region.
Michael, as always, thank you so much. That is Michael Gaynor from Eastside Parkways Coalition with his thoughts on yesterday. And, we'll say right from the beginning, Michael's obviously very pro fill in the 33 and restore it. But, as we talked about yesterday, as a lot of you pointed out on text, via calls, on my social media pages, it does have to be addressed, emergency vehicles, and displaced vehicles. And, I don't disagree with Michael that there are other routes downtown. When we're talking about getting downtown, as I said yesterday, I can understand business owners, and I don't think business owners are against restoring, Humboldt Parkway. I think what business owners are fearful, number one, is it's already tough to be a business downtown. Let's just be honest. But number two, as I illustrated yesterday, yes, I will go out of my way to get to work if I have to go out of my way to get to work. But I might not go out of my way to go to a business, to go to a restaurant downtown, to go to an event downtown. Does that make sense? And if I live in Cheektowaga, if I live in Amherst, I live in Clarence and I use the 33 off by the airport, and that's my route downtown, and now I have to add 10-15 minutes. Again, I agree that people along the 33 and those most affected should have weighted voices. I 100%. But you do have to consider people in the suburbs, and you have to consider businesses downtown. And again, am I going to go out of my way? I would go out of my way for a Sabres game, but there are people who wouldn't. Are we going to, how many people are not going to go out of their way to go to certain events downtown? Does that hurt downtown businesses when they're already hurting? And I think that's a fair point to bring up. And I think it's a fair question. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. Anything you want to respond to what Michael Gaynor said? Anything that you might have had, you were thinking yesterday, you didn't get to call in, you want to call in today about the Kensington Expressway? But it is important to point out, because I have now gotten four texts on my phone and multiple texts on the text board, yes, emergency vehicles do use the 33. And it's something that needs to be considered if this is the plan that goes forward. That needs to be considered about what to do with displaced emergency vehicles. And again, I don't doubt that that will be looked into. But it is a pretty glaring issue with removing that expressway. I mean, there's a list of a few glaring issues. And again, that doesn't mean automatically go to put a cap on the 33. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you need to consider how to make up for an expressway no longer being there, you know? And again, yes, Main Street goes into downtown. I don't know too many people who take the 33 now that are going to go down Main Street. I mean, it's not as fast, you know, and it goes back to my original point. If I'm a business owner, I am fearing the removal of the 33 for my business that, again, probably has seen some struggles being downtown. 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the show. It gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, where, like I said, I had a lot of text messages during that, and someone on the text board said, Joe, I'm a truck driver. I use the 33 and 198 several times a day. Commercial vehicles on side roads with all the stop-and-go traffics will clog things up and be less efficient. That is a great point. Other routes won't get you downtown fast enough. Oh, I'm sorry. Other routes won't get you to, I think they mean the hospital, fast enough if you're having a stroke. Or especially at rush hour in the winter, you lose a lane with snow piles. There's another great point. Most other streets are full of potholes. I mean, there's a lot of good points there. The truck driver point's another good point. What to do with, you know, trucks that are on the 33. Again, it's not as many there on the throughway. But now you're going to have commercial vehicles on, you know, Main Street and, again, I keep on going back to Parkside and just putting any more traffic on. Parkside already has more traffic than it's built for. So, some things to consider. Would love to know what you think. 803-0930, star 930. 803-0930, star 930. Taking your calls after the news on WBEN. Hour number two on this hump day. Talking about the 33 Expressway. The public outreach yesterday was meeting number one. There'll be another one on December 16th. Obviously, we'll be following that. That's 2 weeks from yesterday. We heard from Michael Gaynor and his thoughts on the public outreach and, again, his thoughts on the expressway and what he would like to see done. But, I mean, the question still remains, how do you make up for the expressway no longer being there? Emergency vehicles, displaced vehicles. Again, this is the DOT's number. 75,000 cars per day on the 33, right? So that's not, I mean, does the 990 see 75,000 cars a week? You know, I mean, it's removing a big stretch in a widely used. Yes, is traffic down than it was 10 years ago? I'm sure that's the case in most parts of Western New York. And yeah, of course it's down since before the pandemic because you have about probably 25% of jobs that are work from home now. Those people aren't going downtown. And we see, unfortunately, the results of that in downtown business. But it's a lot more questions of, okay, this is what you want. How are we going to do A, B, and C? And emergency vehicles, displaced vehicles. And again, how are you going to assure businesses that they're not taking the hit from, you know, the people who say I'm not going out of my way to get downtown. 803-0930, star 930. Tim in West Seneca will kick us off. Hey, Tim, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, no problem, Joe. How's it going?
Doing all right, Tim. What are your thoughts on all these plans around the 33?
Well, I'd like to rebuttal Michael Gaynor, who was just on, who's very eloquent and he's very educated and like that in reference to his views, that kind of thing. You can call me the voice of all the commuters in Western New York who use this expressway. My opinion, I believe a lot of people's opinion, is that the money is going to be spent on this expressway, renovating it or turning it into a boulevard, and this includes the 198 expressway, is a complete waste of taxpayer money. I mean, this idea, we're going to spend millions of dollars changing these roads to little parkways for aesthetic reasons, I should say, to benefit a small group of citizens, is an imposition on the 75,000 commuters who use these roads every day. And the last I, from my education, we are a representative republic. The majority rules. It's not backwards. We're a small group of city residents who are imposed by what's going on in expressways with the noise and all that stuff. I understand that that's a problem, but it's not like, it's not the tail wagging the dog. You know what I mean? I mean, the majority rules, and no one in media tried or bothered to contact any of the commuters that use these roads to get their opinion on these things. I mean, you have for your radio show here, but when this is all happening, when they change the 190 expressway to 30 miles an hour or whatever it is, no one bothered to go to the intersection. One of the intersections was this traffic light and asked the commuters what they thought of this. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I went to, not getting off too much off topic, but I went to the one of the stakeholders meetings for the New York State DOT for the 198 expressway. And I had a solution to their problem, to get it back up to normal speed over by Delaware Park. What they should do is put a big berm next to the expressway with a forest on top of it, and then you put a speed rated barrier on the expressway side, and everyone can be happy. The people in the park won't be in danger. They won't hear the cars on the expressway, and then the expressway can be the same speed, that kind of thing. So like I said, this money that's going to be spent, these millions of dollars, can be better put to better use on the infrastructure in the city of Buffalo under the roads, which is in serious need of repair. Like I said, just because we're going to do this because to make some people happy, no, that's not the way. Plus, it's going to really wreak havoc with all the commuters. Where are they going to go? Like you previously had people talking about that, and emergency people. So, and then the one other point that no one's bringing up. What about the people in Kaisertown? Their neighborhood was sliced through with the New York State Thruway years ago. Are we going to take the thruway out and make a little nice little road to go downtown over there too? I mean, if you want to have equal treatment, they should be doing that too.
I mean, that's my Tim, that's a great thought. I mean, what's next? If this does get removed, I don't believe that all of a sudden we're not now going to target highways around Western New York. I think that's I think not only is that a good point, I think we'll see it in action in the next decade for sure.
Yeah. So yes, I had to give my two cents because, no one asked the commuters, and I'm just speaking for all the commuters.
No. And like I said, I said yesterday, Tim, I mean, we hear about Ingram Micro moving downtown. Well, Ingram Micro has been in Amherst for a long time. I assume many of their employees live in Amherst and would be taking the 33. Now, that's 800, 900 right there, more that's going to be added to the 75,000 commuters. You definitely have to talk with them, and you have to get an idea of what you're going to do with 75,000 cars a day. Those cars can't just be put on Main Street. That's impossible.
Yeah, and you can't actually loop them around on the thruway either, because that's going to be a cluster as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be worse.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Tim. 100%. Great points, man. Appreciate the call, Tim in West Seneca. Yeah, I mean, that right there is the problem. And, you know, I do agree that people who live along the 33 should have more of a say. But you do have to ask the commuters, because people have to get to work, right? We need businesses, we need jobs to have an economy. And I can't be a hypocrite here, right? I am all for, I mean, what's the focus of a lot of my shows been? Downtown Buffalo. And I believe a successful downtown Buffalo would be positive, obviously would be positive, but would have positive effects for all of Western New York. If you get rid of the 33, I think it hurts downtown Buffalo. Again, people will do whatever it takes to get to work, but it's the non-work things. How many people are going out of their way to get downtown? And that is a question you have to ask yourself. How are we going to reroute emergency vehicles to ECMC? That's a huge question that needs to have an answer. Again, I realize a lot of this stuff is feel good, right? We fill this in, we bring it back together. And you know what? We might be able to have an argument for the highway that should never have been built. You're right. Maybe we can have that discussion. You want to go back in time, the highway that never should have been built? Fine, but it was built. And now a generation or more of people depend on that highway to get downtown, to get to certain spots in the city, right? Commuters to Canisius, Buff State. A lot of them take the 33 to get to Canisius or Buff State. Yeah. I mean, you would have to get on the 198, but you know what I mean. I know someone would call me out there if I didn't finish that. So, yeah, maybe it never should have been built, but it was, and it's used by 75,000 cars a day. It's used by emergency vehicles. Again, it's used by people to get downtown, to get to certain parts of the city, right? When I delivered pizzas for a pizzeria in Williamsville, I used the 33. I mean, the line went about two exits past Eggert Road on the 33. I was on the 33 a lot, driving to some of those deliveries. So I'm not saying you should keep it there because of the deliveries. I'm saying it's used, and for a lot of people, it's their main way to get to certain parts of the city of Buffalo, including downtown. And Main Street's not going to hold 75,000 cars, more cars. I'm not sure the 190, especially at, I mean, this might be a good question for rush hour. I don't think the 190 can take 75,000 more cars, especially during rush hour, right? Those are things that have to be thought of. And I agree with Tim. I don't think commuters should get no say. And, you know, again, I'll go back to my initial, if I'm a business in downtown Buffalo, I would be at every one of these meetings, because I would, I'd like to know, how am I not going to lose business if this is removed? John's in Lancaster. Hey, John.
You know, I don't understand any of it, because growing up in Alden, Lancaster, we couldn't even get to the thruway unless you went out to Pembroke or up to Transit Road. And there's Billow Road, where that could have been, you know, an exit or an entrance. And there's the service road on Ransom, where you could get over to the food, the rest stop there if you wanted to eat, but it's only a service road. They could have made that an entrance. But, you know, growing up, the city had Metro Rail, it had buses for people. I never had that. I had to get a car. And the only way I can get to any of those communities is to take the 33 or the 198, and they ruined that with the speed limit when they could have just put up a guide rail. And, I mean, why am I helping all these people with my taxes get around where they could almost walk to it? Nobody helped me with my car or any of it to get where I needed to go. I don't understand. You can't get from one community to another getting your car.
I John, I'll say this. You bring up a great point on where should be more exits on the 90, because it is a ridiculous stretch of, you know, populated area where you don't have the exit onto the 90. I should do that as a show coming up, because that is something I have long wondered, especially living in Clarence Center now.
Right, and if you want to get to Alden from Buffalo, you have to get off at Cayuga. You have to deal with the airport. You have to deal with transit, Bowmansville. I mean, how many lights are there? It's a tank of gas, you know, just to get out there. And, you know, there's all these people from, you know, Alden, Lancaster. It's a huge community. People go downtown. And I don't know why I'm worried about people that can't get to the park on the other side. Can't they walk over those little overpasses on the 198? Or, you know, get in the car.
You've got overpasses. People have suggested maybe build a pedestrian walkway or two across the 33.
The other question is, people that can't get around, how much money are they making to put into the tax system to do all this? Because I get around because I have to go to work and be productive and pay taxes.
Right.
If you can't get in your car and get to these places, what are you making, under 18 grand a year and you get all your tax money back?
Well, you
shouldn't have any say.
And another thing is, again, removing the 33, what effects does that have on downtown? What effects does that have on business? Because is the result of that going to be less jobs once people decide they don't want to go, you know, as you said, use half a tank of gas to go downtown from Amherst? And I think that's another thing they have to look into with filling it in. John in Lancaster. We'll go from John in Lancaster to Josh in Hamburg. Josh, your thoughts on the 33?
Well, my thoughts on the 33 are pretty simple. It was completed in 1965. People that bought houses since then and rent houses, they bought it knowing that the 33 was there. So to me, they bought it knowing what was there. So why are they outraged? They bought a piece of property or rented their apartment knowing what was there. So now that there's tax money, they want to fix it. It's a complete waste of tax money, especially with the infrastructure of Buffalo in decay, which everybody knows. And that's why we didn't put the stadium downtown, because the infrastructure of Buffalo is so bad. But they want to waste it on something like this, when the residents who bought their properties knew what was there. What do you think?
Yeah, I could tell you a million things we could do better with the $1 billion than this fill-in idea. But yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, most people that live along the 33, they bought the house knowing the 33 was there. You know, not many of the people who live in those houses now were owned the home in the 50s. So yeah, I haven't, Josh, it's funny you mentioned that. I hadn't even thought of it that way. Again, I do want to hear what they have to say. I do think they should have a say. But if it should have been built or should not have been built, 75,000 cars depend on this to get around during the day. And I just don't think the idea exists to put them somewhere else.
But think about it this way. When this was built in 1965, you know, they did a massive amount of studies. The politicians argued over it. The community spoke about it. And they deemed that in 1961, when they came up with it, and probably 10 years before that, when they were planning this, they're like, you know what, this is what Buffalo needs. And now all of a sudden people are like, oh, it divided the community. No, it didn't. This was voted on or decided, you know, 50-60 years ago, and now we're using it, and there's probably more cars today than then. And people bought their houses knowing what was there. The government loves the waste money. We all know that. New York State is in debt. So why are we wasting money on this? And I know the big fear. If we don't take this $1 billion, it's going to go somewhere else in New York State. So typical government bureaucracy. Let's take the money, build it, and so it doesn't leave Buffalo. And that's the way government operates, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, that's their argument, right? I mean, Kathy Hochul said as much. Well, if you don't want this, we'll put the $1 billion somewhere else.
That's right.
That was literally her reasoning for the cap in the 33. Josh, appreciate the call. Josh in Hamburg. Yeah, the displaced cars. And again, I will continue to say that I think people along the 33 should have a voice. And there should be some extra weight to their voice. But you can't forget about the commuters and people who depend on that road daily. And, you know, you should also, before we fill it in, when you come up with that plan, talk with the people who will be affected by the displaced vehicles, right? The extra cars on Main, Bailey, Parkside, Delaware, Hurdle. What's that going to do? So we're going to have a study on filling in the 33. Are we going to have a ton of other studies on the impacts of, you know, let's split the 75,000 cars up whatever way? All right, so what about with 30,000 extra on Main and 20,000 extra on the 190 and 10,000 extra, you know, are we going to do that study? I mean, you guys, again, if you've listened to my show, you know where I stand. We are going to spend millions and millions of dollars on this, and in 20 years, the 33 will look like the 33 we're debating over right now. Right? Or it'll be some half, you know what, idea like the 990, where, you know, they'll fill in half of it, right? So half the 33 is an expressway. It'll just be a big mess. And Josh has a point, just so they can say, oh, we spent the $1 billion. Josh is exactly right. And that's not Josh and Hamburg saying that. That's Kathy Hochul's own words. If you don't want this, we'll bring the $1 billion somewhere else. That's what the governor said. Supposedly from Buffalo. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. Talking about the 33, the day after the public outreach. I'd like to hear someone who is for the fill-in, who can tell me exactly where they expect the 75,000 cars to go. But I also want to hear from you. What should be done with the 33? Your thoughts on what Michael Gaynor said in the 130 segment? And your thoughts on the arguments for and against. 803-0930, star 930. It's Joe Beamer.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What is the Jingle Bell Rock? Do we know? Have we all? You know, like I know the Cupid Shuffle, right? We had the Electric Slide. We had the Cha-Cha Slide. Clap your hands. Clap, clap. Now it's time to get funky. We all know the Cha-Cha Slide. I don't know the Jingle Bell Rock. Have not learned that one. Welcome back. Oh, no, it's Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Final segment, 803-0930, star 930, talking 33 Expressway. Should it stay or should it go? And if it goes, let's make a list of issues that will be caused. Now, again, I'm not saying that they won't come up with plans, but what are issues that will be caused if the 33 goes away? I think I've listed off a lot. You guys have contributed. Let's continue it going. Mark in West Seneca. Mark, thanks for hanging on.
Hi, Joe. I don't know what they really want to accomplish with this. I hear them saying, oh, they want to bring communities together. They want to make it greener. But what, I don't know, maybe you know, you heard from talking to the gentleman, what is the bottom line that is going to be so great if these projects are done?
Yeah, their argument is, bringing the communities together, bringing Humboldt Parkway back, because they believe that the 33 that expressway should never have been built. And as I said, even if it should never have been built, it is a daily use for 75,000 cars, and it's going to be pretty tough to replace a roadway for 75,000 cars in Buffalo.
But I can't see spending that kind of money just to bring people back together. That's not a concrete benefit to me.
No, Mark, I think it's ridiculous the amount of money that's already been spent on the failed project. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, this started, as we learned on Sunday, this all started because the walls on the 33 have, you know, kind of hit their limit. They were put in the 60s, so they have to be reinforced. And the state's like, well, is there something else we could do? So they're spending all this money on, you know, the outreach and everything. Yeah, I don't disagree with people having a say. I just, at the end of the day, I don't think it's worth the $1 billion to begin with. If you told me I had $1 billion to improve roadways in Western New York, believe me, I have $1 billion for. I mean, I have $1 billion worth of ideas to fix roadways in Western New York, and this isn't one of them.
I agree with you. It's just a waste of money for what they're doing, and there's not going to be any benefit that I can see everybody can get. So.
Hey, Mark, okay. I wish I had the answer for you, Mark. I really do. I appreciate the call. Mark in West Seneca. No, and you look at these pictures of you know, pre-33, pre-198. And it is beautiful. Like, I'm not taking that away from the organizers. It's absolutely beautiful. Yes. You look back at those old pictures of Humboldt Parkway and the park. It's gorgeous. Like, I'm not saying that I disagree the 33 never should have been built. But we're living in the reality that it was built. And, I mean, could you say if the 33 was never built, another expressway would have been built? I was about to say the 390, but there is a 390. Maybe, right? But this is the one that was built. And people still need to get around, right? It's not 100% of people working from home. And again, for someone like me who grew up in Amherst, now lives in Clarence, except for my time in Orchard Park, the 33 has been the way I get downtown. By the way, the 33 was the way I got downtown when I lived on the 33. When I lived at Medei College, how did I get downtown? I hopped on the 33. So my 26 years of living in Western New York, except for taking the train downtown, which I did when I lived in Amherst and also sometimes when I lived at Medei, the 33 has been my main route, except for those 2 years in Orchard Park. So, yeah, again, maybe you could make an argument that the roadway should have been put somewhere else. The 33 never should have been put where the 33 was put, and the 198 should. Fine. But they were, and again, 75,000 cars. Of all arguments, 75,000 cars a day is really difficult to displace, and you're going to be adding cars there because 30% of employers are going to go at least to some hybrid model. You have to assume that's going to include businesses in Buffalo. And we know of all the new Ingram Micro jobs, and again, I know you shouldn't assume. I know what happens when you assume, but I'm going to assume that of those 1,000 jobs, many of them live in Amherst because Ingram Micro was in Amherst for so long and probably plan to take the 33 to work. Speaking of Amherst, let's go to Amherst. That's where Kyle is. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, I just came in, so I don't know if this was mentioned. Well, I'll start off. I'm 50 years old. My grandparents' house was on Goulding Street, which was Humboldt Parkway area, and I heard the stories of how it used to look, right? So I grew up on the Olympic area, so we used the 33 growing up all my life, 198. Now, recently, we had the border shut down, and all the trucks clogged up the 190, this, that, and that, and this. I'd never seen so much traffic. It was like a bottleneck for days. And if it wasn't for the 33 and the 198, where would they have gone? I mean, there was been no way possibly to get all these cars through the city. And I understand the arguments, you know, the social dynamics, it shouldn't have happened, but it happened. That was, what, 70 years later? You just can't all of a sudden now go back. I mean, people bought their homes based on the arteries. People have based their whole ideology on their transportation method to get in and out. And now you want to close it all down? I mean, who's making these decisions? Did they poll even the people in the neighborhood doesn't want it to close down? So I just don't understand these decisions and who's making them and who's being polled. That's what I like to know, because it just makes no sense.
That's a great point, Kyle. And you know, in my my thoughts are, I hope for the second meeting, a lot of commuters who might not live in the city, you know, make their way to these meetings. But as you mentioned, I mean, people who live in the city along the 33 very likely use the 33 for the same reasons people in the suburbs use the 33. So I can't imagine that many of them want to find a different way to get, you know, I mean, again, regardless of where you're going on the 33, if you have to find another way, it's going to be a slower way, and it's probably going to include secondary streets and residential streets.
Yeah, it's just not, I mean, it just doesn't make, you live in a, I know it's not a major city in America, but it's a city, and all cities have some artery that cuts through to get to somewhere to make it quicker, so you don't go through side streets anymore. You know, I'm just really clueless about all these decisions that are going down lately in our government, and, you know, from the top to the bottom.
And Kyle, for me, it's you know, they say, well, we need the $1 billion. You don't want it to leave Buffalo. And you know, it's $1 billion for road improvements. Believe me, I can take someone from the DOT and drive them through the city of Buffalo and find $1 billion to spend in road improvements. I don't think that's going to be too difficult.
Oh, yeah, dude. I could tell you firsthand. I worked. I'm a teacher. I've been in Buffalo for 23 years as a teacher. And in the wintertime, driving home, you know it as well as most people. We call it Pothole City. You know, there's so many things that's going to require $1 billion worth that we could use immediately. You know, projects that should already been done. You know, let's not worry about projects that hypothetically are not needed or needed. Let's just stick with the stuff we need. And I never heard my parents complain. I never heard any of my family complain that lived in Buffalo. They're all unfortunately not here anymore. But, you know, it's an ideology that liberalism has just gone too far. I mean, we really, really have. And that's the problem. You know, to make amends for something that shouldn't have happened. What year was it? It had to have been in the 60s.
It was, yeah. So the 198 started getting built in 1951. And then after that, the 33 in the beginning of the 60s, the 33, they started digging up.
Yeah, and then what made matters worse is, and again, I'm very sympathetic to the family. I run Delaware Park a lot. I remember when that all happened. But all they needed to do was put barriers. Putting that down to 35 miles an hour, that made no sense. Put it back to at least 40, 45, 45, honestly. And you got a better flow of traffic. Try to get off of the exit, what's that, Delaware, right after Delaware Park. Try to get off there. You'll see. It's like a half a mile line just to get off that exit. You know what I mean? And now you want to shut that whole thing down? That just doesn't make sense. Where are they going to go? I mean, how are you possibly going to get through? Or you could take the outskirts, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just...
The outskirts weren't built for that kind of traffic. And Kyle, this will upset you even more. On top of the billion that's for the 33, remember, they're still holding on to $100 million to remove the 198. That's from when Ryan and Higgins made the announcement that they wanted to completely remove the 198.
Yeah, see that just, I mean, I don't know, buddy. I really just, whatever.
I hear you. I mean, hey, and I, you know, I look at the old pictures of before the 33, and yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. But like you said, even if it shouldn't have been built, it was, and 75,000 cars use it a day. Hey, I look at old pictures of downtown Buffalo and wish we could bring back, you know, the crowds of people and the booming business. But it seems like, you know, they're more focused on roadways than and not that roadways aren't important, but you know, those are pictures I'd like to. And downtown Buffalo's waiting for a comeback, but it seems like we're more focused on this first, which I think would do the opposite to downtown Buffalo.
They should have put that train either, going down one darn street. You know, I mean, you know, you talk about this train that goes from UB all the way downtown, one street. Ooh, let's make it go around the city. How about that? You know, I mean, you know, I don't know.
It's one of my, that's one of my biggest annoyances of something that happened before I was born. I look at those pictures of what the Metro Rail was supposed to do, supposed to go out to the airport, to the South Town, to the Falls, and just how different I think, you know, because I grew up near South Campus, so I took the train downtown. You know, my family, we'd always take the train. How different transportation would be in Western New York if they actually had gone through with the full plan.
Yeah, I know. That's the story of Buffalo. If.
Yeah, it's always if. The good thing now, Kyle, is we have artificial intelligence, so we could put it into AI and they could show us what it would be like.
That's a good one.
Hey, man, always great catching up with you.
Yeah, take care.
That is Kyle in Amherst, 803-0930, *930. Yeah, I mean, that is the reality. We can't, there are things that we can't undo, right? And yeah, maybe the 33 never should have been put in. I would argue an expressway would have to have been put in somewhere cutting through the city. That's just a reality of the time. I mean, you're talking about the 60s. People wanted to get downtown. And, you know, I mean, this is when expressways were being put, you know, I mean, at the later half of when expressways were being put all over the country. You want a thriving city in the 60s. You need a way to get people not only downtown, because you're also talking about the suburbs, right? And with, you know, more people, more individuals having cars, you know, things were moving. People were moving out to the suburbs. Shopping was moving out to the suburbs. And if you're New York State, if you're Western New York, you wanted to keep up with that. So an expressway was going to have to have been put in. And it's unfortunate that, yeah, it was put in and Humboldt Parkway was beautiful and they tore it up. I'm sure you can go into every top 60 city in America and they'll show you something that looked probably great with a nice row of housing and all that before they had to tear it up, right, to put in an expressway. Just because maybe it's not what should have been put in doesn't mean we can undo it. Again, because you now have, and Kyle brought it up, and Kyle's 100% right. You have people who, you know, maybe picked an area to live because of its closeness to the 33, if they work downtown, or if they live in the city and work in Amherst or in Cheektowaga, right? Okay, we're going to live here because, you know, I can hop on the 33 and get out to the suburbs, or I can hop on the 33 and get downtown. The 33 also connects the airport to downtown, and yes, again, I know most meetings are now on Zoom, but there are some people who still fly in for major meetings, and one of the nice things about Buffalo is you can land, hop in an Uber, and be downtown in 20, 25 minutes. That is also a plus and another reason the 33 was put in. So I don't know what you're going to do with 75,000 extra cars. And again, the emergency vehicles, that's something that has to be addressed. And I would say for the people, and again, I get along with all the people at the Eastside Parkways Coalition. I have nothing against them. But we got to work in reality. And emergency vehicles do use the 33. So I think that is something that needs to be looked into and something that needs to be addressed in these meetings. Coming up next, it's Tom Bowerly. He is here with us now. Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Happy hump day.
Sorry, I was in the middle of a text. Could you tell? yes, it is hump day. How are you going to celebrate? Oh, wait, not that way. No, you didn't let me. Did you hear the Christmas show movie? The Christmas movie show we did yesterday.
I heard the beginning of it, but my son is—he's going through a little bit of a illness spell right now. So I was.
I know. I'm sorry. I was hoping I could offer you some relief from that, but apparently not.
It's the terrible twos on top of no sleep. It makes for a disastrous combo when those two things come together.
Joe, may I offer you some advice as somebody who's been there and done that? Okay. They're called the terrible twos for a reason. Are they called the philosophical twos? No, they are not. Are they called the filled with wisdom twos? No, they're not. They're called the terrible twos for a reason. And the reason is your little boy has realized he never should have been born. I mean, that's... You're not laughing. You are laughing. Okay, good. I've been watching too much Sebastian Maniscalco. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. I was like, oh, my goodness. What happens if you do a comedy bit and people actually get angry at you? I've been watching way too much of that. But I'm going to blame the listeners.
He's great.
I'm going to blame listeners. Did you see the Chicago thing? Because Chicago 2024, Sebastian Maniscalco, because listeners suggested that to me. And over the weekend, we watched it, and I've been obsessed with that man. Well, not the man, because I'm not quite that way.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Coming up on the show, Joe, after 3 o'clock, notice that awesome pivot to the subject and what we're going to be getting into. So coming up after 3 o'clock, Joe, there's a show that I've been dying to do, and other things have gotten in the way. But have you noticed, I see you're younger than I, although you are getting older.
I am. Don't remind me. Oh,
I know.
You can.
At
40's right there, you know?
Oh, 40? You young man. You youngster, you. 40. Oh, come now. But no, seriously. The socialism show. Joe, do you have a lot of friends who are inclined toward socialism? Because did you see Fox News yesterday? Socialist candidates are really doing well with Democrats.
Yes.
Thinking to myself, okay, socialism, Democrats, what's the difference?
Right. Yeah.
I like how mainstream Democrats are running from socialism. Like, this is the same kind of crap you guys have been talking about for years. How come you're running from it?
You just don't want the label. That's
Libbies on the label. Anyway, we're going to talk about socialism and young people in America. And are we going to be a socialist? I think eventually we are going to be a socialist country, by the way, and a Muslim country.
Hopefully not in my lifetime.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. Demographically, I think it's irresistible. Muslim birth rate, Christian Jewish birth rate. You do the math. Maybe not in our lifetime, but eventually it's going to happen. So anyway, I thought I'd start off with a nice note there as far as socialism is concerned anyway. But we're going to talk about socialism and America. America. We're going to talk about that. And also after 3 o'clock, Joe, retirement. And I hate to use the word because he said retirement, so he must be getting ready to retire. No, I'm not in the least. Oh, you're stuck with me for a long time, Joe. Sorry. 3 to 6 is mine, baby.
I'm happy to hear that.
No, you're not.
I love being sandwiched between you and David. It's the best position to be on the station.
Okay. In light of what I said just a few minutes ago, I want to thank you for bailing me out of that one. Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate that. But we're going to talk about retirement. And do you think you're ever, Joe, will you ever be able to retire? Forget a, I don't want to retire. They're going to have to drag me away from the microphone. Do you think you're ever going to be able to retire?
You know, able, I would say yes, because the smartest thing I ever did is I've always paid into a 401k. I might not be good with my current money, but I've always paid into a 401k.
Well, that'll get you the Sheba cat food, so that's good. I mean, Sheba's not bad. I'm just saying.
But I don't think I'll ever want to. I love this job. Like as long as they don't fire me, I could never imagine wanting to quit.
Even if they do, there's other radio stations. There's podcasting. There's internet broadcasting. What difference does it make? You don't need these people.
I don't want. Hey, I'm still early in the career, Tom. I don't want to say that just quite yet.
All right. So anyway, I guess I'm just too late to give a damn. But anyway, which makes my show really fun because I don't care. But you're not laughing at that either. Jeez, I. Okay. Note to self: do not watch Sebastian Maniscalco before talking with Joe.
I was going to say I love Sebastian. I saw him last year in Buffalo and at the arena. He put on a great show, and he puts on like it's one of those shows where it's long, but you still want more. Like he is hilarious.
Yes, absolutely. Well, he goes an hour. Most comedians do an hour long bit and then they're done. Jay Leno, most of them do an hour and they're gone. It's not like seeing a band. We're going to be taking a 10-minute break, which is always a 30-minute break. Whenever a band says we're taking a 10-minute break, I know. Okay, I'll see you next year. We're going to have some fun after 3 o'clock. And Joe, seriously, I mean, I'm having fun with you, but I also love this job. And despite my advanced age and obviously increasing senility, I just don't see walking away from this, baby. I don't. No.
I don't see anyone wanting you to walk away. Like I said, I think this lineup
talk
is
to management.
I think this lineup is beautiful, and I am just happy to be a small part of it.
You're a big part of it, Joe, because we're all looking at you so we can retire.
Thank you, Tom. Not as big as I was a year ago, though, thanks to Awaken.
Well, actually, what happens is when you lose the belly, other things look bigger.
Your thighs is what
I was getting at. What are you thinking of? I'm thinking of thighs. Would you get your brain out of the gutter, please? Jeez, Beaver.
Well, come on. I'm at the station. My brain's in the gutter 24/7. What are you talking about?
Damn Austrians. Can't trust them.
Tom Byerly is up next after the news with Tom Puckett. Thanks to Andy Parker and Michael Gaynor for joining me today and for your phone calls. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.